Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a matter of minutes, the Nick Sirianni press conference. I'm sure he'll be asked if the Eagles are a running team. He said it yesterday to John Ritchie. Seth Joyner says run the ball. Mark Sanchez says run the ball.
Hey, everybody, run the ball.
Hugh Douglas says
run the ball.
90-something percent of our Twitter poll today says run the football. We'll hear from Sirianni coming up in a few minutes. Of course, your reaction to Joel Embiid not playing tonight in the opener. I don't know when he's going to play, and the whole thing is just, it's the latest in the saga of the Sixers. It never makes any sense. I'm annoyed by it because they're not being honest about it, obviously. And if they were, I probably could wrap my mind around it. If they just told me, hey guys, we're going to play him 50 games. We're starting him on Thanksgiving. We're starting him at Christmas, whatever. At least I can understand it. But Hugh, this ambiguity, this like, well, he's fine, but he's not, that doesn't work, especially when people are getting ready to go to the game site. The game's home. It's in Philadelphia. It's the home opener.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing, it reeks. And no matter what path it really is, right? He re-injured himself. He's got a weak knee from all the surgeries. Or this is a plan they don't want to tell us. None of it's good. None of it makes me feel great.
No, it's not one of those things that you feel warm and fuzzy about because it's like, what are we doing here? It feels like some of the same things that we've been doing over and over again for the past couple of years when it comes to Joel Embiid. Just a shroud of secrecy that we have over his injury, what's going on with him. It's one of those things where it's not a great feeling. And I tell you what, for me, the one that really jumps out is the fact that Coach Nurse kind of sits there and it sounds like he doesn't even know what's going on with the player. Yeah. That right there is tough. He put him in a tough spot if that's the case. And that's what leads me to believe that Joel Embiid, this is his decision. This is his decision not to play.
You know, it is funny the Nurse angle to this because, you know, he spoke yesterday and he kind of shrugged his shoulders of what do you want me to do? There's different stages of being a Sixers coach in this era. You come in happy, smiling, and then you have, you know, eventually you get to the stage of what do you want me to do?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Or you say, hey, man, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, Brett Brown lived it. Doc Rivers lived it. Now Nick Nurse is living it. It's the state of the Sixers. And this was a year that people were going to be excited. I mean, let's be real. They signed Paul George. They talked about themselves as championship contenders. But it's hard to wrap your mind around that with the way this whole thing starts to, you know, begin this season. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Terrence.
Dude, yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey,
what's
Terrence.
Man, I was telling Kyle, like, it don't matter if they sit this guy out for 40 games, whatever. This guy gets hurt on freak injuries. He dived on the floor. I think Kyle said he got hit by Siakam one game. Somebody clipped his knee last year. At basketball, you don't know when you're going to get injured. So I feel like when you try to prevent injuries, that's when you get hurt. So who's to say this guy sits out for 40 games, then all of a sudden he gets injured during the season? To me, with Joel Embiid, this guy is always half-assed on his health. So when you're half-assed on your health, you're going to have a half-assed mentality. You're going to have a half-assed performance in the playoffs. So to me, this guy needs to – they say every year he loses weight. I got to see that on the court. So, like, put down the bonbons, put down the cheesesteaks, and really show us that you're in shape, Joel. I don't want to hear you lost 25 pounds. Show me on the court. Show me about not getting injured. Show me about staying on the court. Because the fact of the matter is, nobody's going to be in on Joel Embiid in the Sixers until they show us, like, same thing like with all these Philadelphia teams. You have to show us that you're in on your health, Joel, because that's the main thing. And to me, the way Boston looks, they're look formidable right now, like they're going to go back to back. So I don't care how healthy Joel's going to be, somebody got to come knock out Boston because these guys, game one, they look like they looked in the finals.
Yeah, they're well-oiled machine. They've played together a lot. Their stars are healthy. Yeah, continuity. All right, Terrence, give us a guess. Hughes Clues, a show that I dress up as a character from for a contest, and I've seen every single episode.
Man, I want to say Captain Jean Picard from Star Trek.
That's a fair guess. Like, people might peg me as
Star Trek.
Oh, that's
a good one.
Terrence, that is not it. But that's probably our most, like, I could see why you peg me as that guy.
Yeah, Captain Picard.
Yeah, actually, wasn't a Star Trek guy, were you?
I watched it for a while. Yeah. I watched mostly the Captain Kirk ones.
Yeah.
Watched a little bit of, which one was it? When he was with the Borg. That was, about it.
How many different spinoffs of Star
Trek
was there?
There's a few of them, man. I watched the one where, I can't think of the lieutenant's name. But it was the lady. She was in the future. She was in the future. The one that where they have I can't think of anybody's name for Star Trek. Drawing a blank. But the most recent one I think I watched. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. Watched the whole series of that one. Yeah. So I guess I'm not really a Trekkie, but I've watched a few.
It seems like you're kind of a Trekkie.
Well, no, the Trekkie hardcore Trekkies are the ones that watch the Captain Kirk.
That's how you know, like, it's a real Trekkie?
Yeah, because they watch the Captain Kirk ones. They're all into the Captain Kirk and his wild escapades on different planets and whatnot.
Kyle doesn't strike me as a Trekkie.
No. I was more Star Wars guy.
Yeah, I think you got to make that kind of line of demarcation when you're growing up. You got to pick one or the other.
Russ, I can do the sci-fi stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, I always like Star Wars better. Russ and Freehold. What's up, Russ?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Russ.
Wow. Well, lots to unpack today, but... Listen, with Embiid, anyone who's mad about Embiid, I don't want to hear it. Like, you could be disappointed, but you can't be mad. Because, for me, it's like, we all saw the Carfax on Joel Embiid. The thing was in a couple accidents, you know? Like, to expect to not have problems is just crazy. Like, it was going to happen, but...
Well, can I be mad at the Sixers, then, for fudging the Carfax before the season started? Like, I know the car probably had some issues, but... I drove it off the lot to start the season, Russ, and I got a blown out tire. Like, can they please be honest instead of saying yesterday? Oh yeah, now he's out.
Show me the Carfax. That's funny.
Yeah,
that's
we got the, they can't fudge the Carfax on us.
I know, and that's the thing. We all saw it. We saw what you were getting a great deal on this car if it performed like this. The fact that it was in three accidents before you got it and they did some body work doesn't mean you can't ride down the road and expect something to happen. That's knocking knees with somebody at any point in the season. That might cost him a month. So. Like, in my mind, I guess I always knew that that was a possibility, so I'm not shocked at it. As far as the Olympics go, I thought it was going to be a great thing because you're going to get in LeBron's presence and Steph's presence, maybe some of that leadership stuff, maturity, rubs off on you. But
somebody else thought that, too. Somebody else
right?
thought
I mean,
that, yeah.
I think that was a reasonable expectation, you know? Like, oh, listen, look how LeBron's leading. This is what you need to do, and this guy's in year 22. So I felt good about that, but... I've seen in practice, I still see him coming down gingerly, and I still see this extensive knee brace. So this is not like, oh, you had a full offseason. You look the same way you looked last time I saw you. So from Nick Nurse's perspective, I see him saying, you know, look, Joel looks as good as I've ever seen him, and we've rolled him out like this. So why he's not getting on the court, I don't know. And we all know he's coming back. If he misses only three games, he's going to come back with a minute restriction.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have did that tonight and start ramping him up and say, we're going to only play him 5 minutes, appease the fans, like lessen the damage or blowback from the fans. But, yeah, I understand why people – it doesn't sit well with them because I was excited about the roster. And I watched the Celtics play last night. They are better than they were last year. I never really thought much of Tatum because he took a lot of bad shots. Oh, man, him and Jaylen Brown. And they got Porzingis. He could sit on the bench all year. I don't think it'll make a difference. They're going to have the one spot. So I just wanted to see where we sat against the best, and I don't know that we're going to see that this year.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, they're incredible. I mean, they won 60-something last year. They're probably going to win 60-something games again. They might be the first team in a while to win back-to-back. Russ, give us a guess for Hughes Clues. What show are we talking about?
I would have to – I mean, I had it down to two. I'm going to go – I can't see you wearing a Power Rangers spandex, so I'm going to go Buffy.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Who
is
he dressed up as in the Buffy? Who is he dressed up as in Buffy?
I can't imagine either of the real stars of the show. That wouldn't work. I actually did, when I was quite young, was a Power Ranger when I was a kid. But that's not the one.
Go Power Ranger. Which Ranger were you?
Yeah, which Power
Ranger? I was the Red Power Ranger.
Red Power Ranger.
Yeah. I believe it was Jason. Was that the red one?
I forgot. I used to watch. I watched Power Rangers for a minute.
Yeah, weren't you a little old for Power Rangers?
I still watch cartoons, though.
Yeah,
I still watch cartoons.
Yeah, no, I take that back. Yeah, that maybe... I'm just saying, like, I remember Power Rangers in the early to mid-90s, weren't you? About
no, it's
20?
No, but the Power Rangers have been around a long time.
Like, when do you think it started? I remember starting watching, like, early 90s.
It was Ham Saban. It started, we just kind of took it and kind of we put our like
oh,
we
put America.
Yeah,
oh.
It was like yeah, but it was a I think a Japanese cartoon.
So you saw some
it's
early
been around
Power
for
Rangers.
A while. Yeah, because that's in the vein of the Kamen Rider mm-hmm. and all that other good stuff. You know, wearing the costumes and stuff, Ultraman. So it's been around for a long time.
I didn't know that. So I was thinking more Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, but it's 90s. It's all the same thing.
All right, let's go back to Chris in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, Chris? Chris, what's up, buddy?
Uh-oh.
All right, Chris, hold. We'll put you back on hold. Take a deep breath.
I mean, come on.
All right, Mike in West Philly. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Mike, we're trying to figure this thing out. What are you thinking?
So, listen, here's my thoughts. This point shooting center theory, it just don't work for me. All right, so I'm okay with Joel not playing right now because – you know, he ain't playing with his back towards the basket. He's out at the top of the key. How many turnovers did he create because he got the ball in his hands at the top of the key? And that, to me, I feel like that's stunning the growth of the other players on the team when he's doing the stuff he's doing on the court. Now, I'm thinking when Andre Drummond starts tonight, you're just going to see a productive center doing center stuff. So I'm okay with it right now.
And he prepared for this moment, too. Andre was talking about how, you know, he didn't know whether or not he was going to play. But he did his cardio like he was going to play.
Oh, Andre's ready?
Yeah, you didn't hear that? That also makes me believe that this was he kind of knew it was going to go this way.
Yeah.
Because he said, hey, I didn't know if I was going to play or not. But in case I did, I ramped up my cardio.
So I just want to let you know, because I know you're Mr. Betting Man now.
Yes.
When I saw the Joel injury news yesterday, I did put a little, you know, just a couple of dollars on Andre Drummond to lead the league in rebounds this year.
You did?
98-1 odds. 98-1.
See, I just got into this betting game. I don't know. I saw some of the bets last night for basketball. Mm. I don't know how I feel about betting on basketball.
You bet Bronny?
No, I didn't.
Because that would have been a waste of money.
I did not.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure it out. I haven't figured out how I'm going to bet on basketball yet, the points or whatever.
Mike, what's your guess for Hughes Clues? What show are we talking about?
SpongeBob. I don't have any clue.
No, I was not a SpongeBob character. Mike,
would have been funny if you would have been a SpongeBob character, though.
Yeah, like himself? SpongeBob himself, Hughes?
I was thinking more like Patrick.
Patrick Starfish?
Yeah.
It's an insult.
That's not an insult. Patrick is like
Joe
the cool. I'm not
Patrick,
definitely not calling him dumb.
Well, Patrick wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, if we're being honest.
No, I'm just saying. Patrick. Patrick is the coolest character on SpongeBob SquarePants.
But is he the brightest?
Yeah, no, I would say SpongeBob is not that bright either.
Well, none of them are. I mean, that's kind of...
SpongeBob's more like naive. Patrick's dumb.
Squidward would be the smartest one on the show?
I'd probably be like Squidward. Squidward's a jerk, yeah.
You kind of remind me of Squidward.
So that you call yourself a little bit Squidward? You got a little Squidward
Kyle's
in?
Kyle's got some Squidward in him. Yeah, like not in a mean way.
Does everyone leave me the hell alone?
He could pull it off. 215-592-949 for the Nick Sirianni press conference coming your way any
maybe.
Minute. Well, he's probably trying to figure out how he's going to answer the questions about why they don't want to throw anymore.
I don't know. I don't understand how he finds it this hard to be punctual.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, I don't know a lot of things that go on around
here. I don't think
he's
ever been on time for a press conference.
It's pretty rare. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly, and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, I think Chris in Plymouth Meeting is ready to roll here. What's up, Chris?
All right, I'm here. Yeah, I'm going to roll through this quick because Coach is coming up. My original point with the Eagles, but I'll touch on the Sixers real quick. Yes, I am disappointed that Joel is not playing this evening, but I do kind of understand it. I mean, he's a $400 million investment, and it's not about if he plays the first 4 games. It's if he plays the last 4 games. That's the most important, in my opinion. Just real quick on the Birds before Coach comes up. I don't want to, but is it time, considering where we drafted him, which was 13th overall, and we traded up in the first round to get him, is it fair right now to label Jordan Davis as a bust, considering how he's playing so poorly? And not only that, but how Booker and also Ajomo specifically are really balling out. Jordan Davis only had 12 snaps all of last game.
I think it's fair to say this, Chris. They're moving away from making him a big part of this. I mean, Chris, you're right about the snap counts on Sunday. He played 12 snaps, you. Yeah, Jomo's getting more snaps. Booker's getting more snaps.
I still don't believe that he's a bust. I think that what happens is, you know, you're looking at guys and you want them to be pass rushers. He got drafted high, and a lot of people look at him like he has to be a pass rush presence. I think he's pretty decent in the run game. I think the matchups were this week, they were a little bit more favorable for the other guys as far as what they want to do is putting pressure on the quarterback and everything, but I don't think that Jordan Davis is a bust.
All right, let's go to Nick Sirianni for his press conference.
Sorry, you get saved by the Heimlich maneuver.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Press conference?
What?
That wasn't a press conference.
Hey, Bob, is this
that
okay?
That wasn't a press conference. You're good. Yeah, Gatorade's good.
It's Gatorade?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's Gatorade. It's
that was commercial.
Yeah,
thank you.
Wait forever for that, Jack.
All right.
Hey, Nick, there's all this talk about an identity and things like that. When you have a running back like Saquon, top three in rushing and offensive line that mash in the run game, is the identity maybe evolving into kind of a running team?
You know, I think, again, we do what we need to do to win each game. There's going to be a game where we have to we're going to have to pass it a bunch. There's going to be a game we're going to have to run it again like that. And so it's all going to be week to week. Again, you want to stay in things that you do well, and but everything's going to be week to week based off of what's going right that week. And, you know, and so we'll see as the year progresses.
Nick, you told us about the moment with Saquon, but since we've all seen that, can that have an effect on the entire team?
Yeah, I think people really respect Saquon, and you know, because of the person he is, the leader he is, the player that he is, and I think that, you know, it just shows selflessness. You know, just caring about the team. You know, caring about. And that's what he's been since he's been here. That's what he's been, you know, since he's probably been 10 years old, right, and playing football. And so I think that a lot of that guys respect that. And, you know, we try to point those things out anytime they happen, you know, with the selflessness and, you know, because that's part about being a team.
Hey, Nick, what impresses you most about Joe Burrow?
Yeah, he's a really good, obviously a really good player who's done it really well. Excuse me, I need to step away for a second. I'm going to have a coughing attack.
Be right back.
Nick, are you ill?
Did he fall out?
Listen to 94 WIP. Right here is Sirianni. Hopefully he's all right. A little cough and fit there. We get it. It happens to the best of us sometimes. But Nick needed a second, so we'll hop back on as he talks about Joe Burrow and being a running team and Saquon, you know, doing a little breath of fresh air to the team with not going back in that game Sunday, Hugh.
Yeah, I think that was pretty
right,
cool.
He's back. Here we go.
that was funny. Yeah, just he's done it at a high level for a very long time. I mean, you know, thinking back on just that team that he had in college. He still has one of the guys that he's throwing to in college, and just how fun that was, excuse me, to watch. And yeah, just think, you know, he just plays at a high level each and every year, and this is a good, this is a really good offense. A lot of respect for this offense with the weapons they have, and then obviously Joe Burrow.
We've seen over the last, I mean, since the start of the season, the defense and the personnel usage, and in some cases guys being subbed out for others, evolve. But especially so since the bye, how has Vic managed that, and how have you overseen it and allowed him to kind of run with that?
Yeah, you know, obviously these guys have a vision of, you know, what guys do well, and they're with that every single day, and obviously I'm there with them watching that. But, you know, they're you know, got so much faith in our defensive staff to, you know, hey, we think this guy should be here or this guy should be there. And, you know, obviously, again, we watch it all together, but they're the experts at defense. And, you know, so I just got a lot of respect for our defensive staff and the positions that they've put the guys in. Like, we know this, though. We're only as good as our next game. So we got a really big challenge on our hands this week against a really good opponent, and looking forward to the challenge. And we'll see how that goes.
And how does that happen? If I could follow up, how does that, I mean, we've gotten to know Vic fairly well. He's pretty blunt, and he's pretty much going to just handle things the way he's going to handle them. That may rub some players if they're losing snaps, et cetera. How does he handle that, and how do you, are you kind of the good cop to his bad cop?
Yeah, I think every situation calls for something probably a little bit different. I think, you know, like I said, he's about the result of the play and how he gets the guys better and how he puts them in positions to succeed. And I think he's consistent, you know, with everything. I don't think there's a lot of surprise of, you know, what's the, you make a mistake. We got there.
Nope.
I don't need milk. I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years. Yeah, I think he's just really consistent. I think guys respect the consistency. Now, you might not always like, and that's what you try to do as a coach. You might not always like, and not everybody might always like what's being said. But I think everyone has to respect the consistency, and I think that's what I admire about Vic.
The team's getting its mojo back. What do you mean by that? And I guess what does that look like?
I think I said about the pass rush. Yeah. You know, again, okay. Yeah, and so it was just, you know, when you have two games in a row where the pass rush has been what it's been, you know, I just felt that. I kind of wrote that, like, I write notes on my call sheet as we go through the game, you know, things that need to be corrected, this and that you see live. And I just wrote that in the middle of the game after maybe the fifth sack. Like, it just felt like that, right, where it's, you know, at any point, with the guys that were going up front, that at any point they could get a sack because of the way they were rushing. And so that's how I felt about it. And it was, you know, I know the defensive line felt that way too. The defense felt that way. I think the offense felt that way. I think the entire team felt that way of, like, you know, because we've had a lot of sacks here in my 4 years. It's a great feeling, you know, because that's a stat we pay a lot of attention to, because it's kind of in that double positive, the explosive play battle and the turnover battle. It kind of goes, it's a, you know, the next one that we look at there. And so we know how important that is.
How do you balance the feeling that I think they have found something in the pass rush versus it's happened to come against two teams that had some weakened offensive line? Or does it matter because they feel the sacks and they think they got
them? Yeah, I mean, every, you know, this is professional football. Like, every week's going to be a huge, huge challenge. and so, again, just, you get it because, not because of what you, who you're going against, but really because of how you prepare and how you go about your business each week. I think we're a product of our habits, more so than who we're playing, right? Or anything like that. You're gonna have the habits that you practice out there with, and so that's what we really try to focus on.
Nick, how unique is it to be able to kind of be able to change, like, identity during a game? Like, from, let's say you go into a game thinking you're going to run the ball, but then they show you something different and you pass the ball and you got guys like AJ and Devontae and stuff. Like, I guess that's probably something you probably didn't have, like, when you first got here, obviously. So how unique is that?
Yeah, you know, I think what was unique is as I saw it this week in the Giants game was if you watch when you watch that tape when you watch that tape, you see there's multiple times where Devontae is throwing his body around to get a block. I mean, shoot, we only passed the ball four times in the second half, so it's going to be a day that any receiver is going to, you know, not get the you're not going to get the production that you normally get when those things happen. But to see the effort of AJ and Devontae and Jahan, you know, I'm gonna single those three guys out. And Paris did a good job blocking as well when he was in, and Johnny did a good job. He had a nice block on one and had some other good efforts. But the effort, you know, that was huge. Like the play that I felt like kind of got us going was that one around the edge by Saquon. Well, AJ comes in and digs the safety out. And then Cam's able to wrap around and ends up getting hands on their corner. And so it's like, okay, the game's and it was kind of a little early to say that the game was going to play out that way at that point. But as the game progressed, you just see, like, we all heard the selflessness of Saquon when I had that conversation with him when he, you know. so that was heard. But you see it on tape with Devontae. I'm going to single those two guys out particularly, Devontae and AJ, of how they blocked in a game like that. And I remember there was a game a couple years ago where Devontae said the same thing. I remember he said it to Slay on the sideline. Like Slay's like, let me get in. We were winning by a lot. He's like, let me get in, get a couple catches. He's like, we ain't catching today. We've been running it. And you want to come in on offense? You better go ahead and strap it up because we're blocking today. And so it's like, I love like that selflessness that we get to see, and that's like when you're building a team and you're building, you know, as a group, you're building together to try to do this. Those things go a long way. The selflessness, and I'm answering the question kind of like to really emphasize that as opposed to how it goes different, because every game can go a little bit different than how you think. But at the end of the day, it's about winning the football game and what we have to do to be successful. And when you're a guy who gets the ball a lot, like those guys, and then it's a day that you don't get the ball, how are you affecting the game? How are you affecting the game in a positive way when you're not touching the football? And those guys, I just can't say enough. Like, I wanted to spend a little time on that because I can't say enough about how selfless I felt like they were, and that doesn't surprise me. That's how these guys are.
Is that contagious when your veteran, your leaders do that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think everyone feeds off that. You know, sometimes you see a play on the sideline where Saquon lowers a shoulder, or AJ finishes on the sideline, or Coop finishes on the sideline. The contagiousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That has, right, for the toughness of your football team and the energy that it brings. Well, it's the same thing here. If guys are watching and seeing that, and we pointed out and we showed that, I mean, that's a big deal. Because when Devontae Smith can do it, you know, play with selflessness, and you know, then they got to do that too, because that's what's the expectation and that's what the standard is.
How would you describe Josh Sweat's season to this point?
I think Josh Sweat is one of the most physical guys on this football team. And I think that defensive ends are always judged on how many sacks did you get, right? And I get that, and that's part of it. But the way he plays the run and the way he puts his hands on tight ends and the way he puts his hands on tackles and the violence that he plays with is critical to our success on how he plays on the edge of our defense. And so I feel like every week when I'm watching the tape, I'm writing up there 19, you know, as I look at the tape, you know, 19 plus physical, 19 plus violent, 19 plus way to use your hands. It's like it's just over and over and over again. And it was good to see him, you know, the last couple of weeks get the sacks because he's always on pursuit. You know, I think there was a really good play that he made in that Giants game where – They thumped the edge, you know, with the tight end. He got skinny and then got himself back on the tackle and was an unbelievable rush when the attention was going to him. When you can beat a rush when two guys are blocking you, that's impressive. And he was able to do that, and he's been able to do that throughout his career. But Yeah, he brings a, he sets a tone to our defense of the way he plays with his physicality, and we'll expect him to keep doing that because that's the type of guy he is.
What about the framework of the passing game helps Jalen be right more frequently when he goes after a one-on-one? Kellen talked about how there is a passing progression, but you can green light after a one-on-one if he sees it. You know, you guys have done that before, but what went into that conversation with the offense as you're building that to help him in that?
Yeah, you know, again, you have good one-on-one players, and you trust one-on-one players. It takes the built-in trust that is, you know, again, this isn't blind faith. This is work over and over and over again that he trusts AJ Devontae to work those one-on-ones when he does have them, and being able to know when he doesn't have them to work the other part of the concept. And so, and listen, defenses are constantly trying to manipulate you to see, you know, to deceive you, right, of to what you're really getting. And so I just think he's done a good job of seeing what the defense is giving to him, taking his opportunities for one-on-ones when he has them, and playing football, you know, playing the position at a high level when they don't present themselves.
Is it a bias?
Two more folks.
Is it a byproduct sometimes chasing those shots, you know, when he does see those one-on-one matchups? Does it sometimes lead to the passing offense maybe seeing arrhythmic at times?
Again, when you don't complete a vertical ball, there's still a fear that's put into the defense where they can't sit on routes at the sticks, or they can't sit on routes that appear like, listen, defense is trying to deceive us and we're trying to deceive them. Like, everyone's lying out there on the field, right? And so when you go vertical and you don't get it, yes, that puts you into second and 10. But if it's first and 10, obviously, but there's so much else it does, right, to that defensive back into that matchup. And so, you know, I don't think he can look at it as just a product of, hey, it was an incomplete pass. Like, we started the Cleveland game that way, right, with a couple of vertical shots that were incomplete passes. You can't look at it like that. There's other things that go into it when after that happens.
Last one.
As a wide receiver guy, how would you compare or evaluate the two combinations in this game?
Yeah, both big time. Both big time. You know, obviously a ton of respect for T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And I think the guy – you know, kid from Princeton's doing well too, and obviously wouldn't want anyone else but our guys with Devontae and AJ. But you know, again, it'll be fun for fans to watch, right? The combination of all those playmakers on the field. I know you want me to rank them. I'm not going to rank them, but a ton of respect for both. Love the guys that we have, and a lot of respect over there. You know, of how they've done it and how they've done it for many years. Go ahead, Bruce.
Just to follow up on the passing, what goes into the balance of, you know, either zeroing in on those one-on-ones when there may be something in the progression that emerges? Like, what's the balance, and how do you kind of coach that?
Yeah, again, I mean, sometimes routes stay on versus press. Sometimes they convert versus press. Sometimes they stay on versus cloud, and sometimes they convert. And so sometimes it's just the defense that balances that out. But, you know, again, you're just trying to attack multiple ways. You're trying to attack on the outside. You're trying to attack on the inside. You're trying to attack vertical. You're trying to attack short. You know, so, again, we're constantly lying to the defense about what we're doing.
All right, there was the Nick Sirianni press conference, asked about running the football and Jalen Hurts and this matchup against Joe Burrow. We'll react more on the other side. Hopefully Nick gets himself some, you know, cough syrup or something. He's struggling there. Hopefully he feels better by Sunday. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to Sirianni. Are you okay with the Sixers' decision to sit Joel Embiid to start the season? Your calls on that. Plus, a third clue for a prize. And we'll do a little What If Wednesday here on the Midday Show. All on the other side on Sports Radio 94 at WIP. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.